We have now close to 10,000 people following this court case from all over the world. In fact, an Aboriginal lawyer who flew all the way from Australia to watch this court case in hopes that it helps the Aboriginal children in Australia. And it is the most formally watched court case in Canadian history. And as we, as adults, think about what reconciliation means, I often think that we should be showing up at the grade 3 classes because they've already got it figured out. Now, I'm just going to go to view. Where is the slideshow here? Right there. There we go. So we'll go back to that, and we'll go down here. I want to show you something else because the kids are not done. They are, those same children and ones in adjoining schools are actually out doing presentations to other kids. They've got a whole delegation of kids that travel from school to school to school to say why it's so important to stand up for your country, why it's so important to stand up for each other, and why it's so important to stand up for the future of the nation. And they are getting ready for the Our Dreams Matter 2 walk, where people across the country, and I hope here in Vancouver, will build a mailbox. And you will fill that mailbox with letters to the Prime Minister, to your Member of Parliament, asking that every child be given a chance to grow up safely in their homes, have good food, be proud of who they are, have healthy bodies. And you drop them into the mailbox, and then a volunteer registers that on a national website. You can find the buttons and the bookmarks over here. It's completely free, and you can be inspired by these amazing kids. The kids have gone a step further because they realize that some of you are a little shy about writing letters. You don't know what to say in a letter to the Prime Minister.
I do.
So, well, there's a couple of us here. But I think you're going to agree, because when I saw the kids' letters, I thought I was pretty smoking hot at writing letters to the Prime Minister. I'm not. Now, these are the letters that the children presented to the Prime Minister on Have a Heart Day, and the beautiful song that was written behind it is written by Reva Farrell Rissette, a First Nations woman who's studying law at the University of Saskatchewan and got an I Am a Witness button and was moved to write the song, which she's now gifted to all First Nations children and all the non-Aboriginal children who are joining in unison. So here's some of the letters from the kids.
I am a witness.
You would claim that there's
of the country are telling all of you that you should be doing, and because caring is not enough. There's a little boy named Wesley Prankard. He heard about Shannon Kustach. He was 11 years old, and he wondered what he could do to help. But his first words out of his mouth weren't, "Well, maybe we need to research this some more. Maybe we could get together a committee or do a report." He said something very simple. He said, "We got to do something." So what does he do? Well, he learns that the people in Attawapiskat were sleeping in tents. So he goes and he gets his pup tent and he pitches it into Niagara Falls campground. And he brings his computer and he asks people to pledge dollars for the hours that he's in the campground. And amazingly, because he's cute and he's only 11, the radio station shows up. And he raises $6,000. Now, that doesn't stop him. He goes down to the local business that produces toys, the factory in his community. He goes up to the CEO and he says, "I'm raising funds for playgrounds in Northern First Nations communities. I want to build my first one in Attawapiskat. Will you match dollar for dollar what I raise?" Now, no one knows the story about what was in the mind of the CEO, but I'm thinking he's thinking, "Oh, there's just a couple of car washes. What's the deal? Yeah, sure, we're in." And then Wesley raises $25,000 in the Pepsi Refresh Fund. So, good for corporate Canada. They pony up and they pay the chunk of change. Although next time I think there will be a coffee break when Wesley shows up asking for foreign funds. Now, 2 years pass. It's 2011. And there's a real problem with being a 12-year-old philanthropist, and that is that you have to go to school in September. And by this time, Wesley had raised the $90,000 needed for a playground in Attawapiskat. Because as I told you earlier, the playground was taken up by the old dilapidated portables. The kids had nowhere to play. And the school ground equipment was ready to go. So he wanted it to be delivered while it was summer holidays, so he could be up there building it with the kids. But for some reason, the barge that it was on was delayed and delayed and delayed, and I'd be getting these Facebook messages from Wesley. He's really worried that school's going to start before he can go up and help. But thankfully, Wesley's birthday, by the way, is on the latter part of August, and a miracle happened, and the barge is finally ready. So he's up there on the Attawapiskat River, and who's standing next to him but Shannon's mom and dad? And he says to them, "Are you here to meet the playground?" "Oh, yes, Wesley. And in fact, we've had a birthday party for you. We're going to take you out. We have a big birthday party planned. But we're also here for another reason. And that is, it's been a year since our daughter passed away. And in our tradition, we wanted to have an honoring ceremony for her." And they said, "You know, to be really honest, we were really worried because when her headstone was ready, when the barge was supposed to leave, her headstone was not ready. But they said by some miracle, the barge kept on being delayed until the very day when her headstone was ready." So Shannon Kustach came up on the same barge as the playground equipment. Now, Wesley calls his organization northernstarfish.org, and I hope all of you donate to it. I certainly do. And I asked him, I said, "You know, being a BC girl, I know what a starfish actually looks like, and I've never seen one in Niagara Falls. Nor have I seen one in Hudson Bay. So I decided, you know, being the good social worker I am, a developmentally thing, I'm going to ask the kid flat out why it's called Northern Starfish." And he told me, he said, "It's because, Cindy, when I told adults that I wanted to do something to help, a lot of them told me that I was just a kid, that this is a complex thing and there wasn't really much I could do. I should be just going out and play and be a regular kid." And I really started to wonder about that, if that was true. He said, "And then my dad told me a story about starfish, and some of you might know it. A little boy comes up upon a beach, and there's all kinds of starfish washed up. And just naturally, children will not sit there and deliberate and develop some logic model on how to throw them in. They will get down on their knees and they will pick them up one-on-one and they will throw them into the water so that they might live. And that is what the boy was doing when a man came upon him. He looks at the starfish down the beach and he's overwhelmed by the number. And he says to the boy, "What are you doing?" "I'm putting them back into the water," he says, "so that they can live." And the man says, "Why are you even bothering? There are so many. There's no way that you're going to be able to help them all. And you're just a kid. Why don't you go off and do something else? Other people can, there's game wardens and people who can do this stuff." The little boy looked down the beach and, man, there sure were a lot of starfish. And he wondered how a little kid like him could actually make it happen. But children are the most sacred for a reason. They know love and fairness in a way that adults often cannot remember. And he found his knees bending, and he picks up a starfish and he throws it back into the ocean and he says, "There, I just saved that one." 20 years from now, people will ask you if you knew what was happening to First Nations children in 2012, and you did. Your kids certainly do. They'll ask you if there was something that you could have done, and of course there was. Did it cost you anything? No. Did it take up a lot of your time? 2 minutes, I guess, is a lot of time, but not a lot of time in a lifetime. And then what did you do about it? It's what you do or do not do that defines whether or not you can stand on guard for O Canada. And it's not just for the well-being of First Nations kids, it's for the well-being of us all. If we do not know how to stand up for one another and stand up for the values that define our country the most, then we are all lost. But I think you agree with me. If we went to more grade 3 classes, we would understand what the country is all about. Thank you very much.
CMCI, we want to, on behalf of everyone that's here, extend a very great haichka thank you to Cindy. I've known Cindy for a long time, and you know, she's a very dear friend. The issues that she's talking about and raising in terms of Aboriginal children, the issue of Aboriginal human rights and Indigenous people's human rights is something that the four organizations, the hosts of this series, are really striving to bring forward to you and to members of the general public on behalf of Lawyers' Rights Watch Canada, Amnesty International, the Vancouver Public Library, and the Hull Communal Treaty Group. We want to thank all those who have participated this evening. Leah, for her welcome to the territory, and Toshio for his introduction and welcome to Cindy, and especially another round of applause for Dr. Cindy Blackstock, who has, I think, brought forward the story in a way that has touched everybody's heart. So thank you very much, Cindy.